T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. The two-week window that we're all familiar with, Super Bowl two-week period, is about to begin here on a Monday. So I think there's going to be a lot of revisionist history here as people are jealous, people are pissed off that Tom Brady is in the Super Bowl. And could the Patriots have prevented all of this from happening? And so Ian Rappaport adds a little bit more dirt to that story when he comes out and says, sources say that when the Minnesota Vikings were poised to deal star receiver Stephon Diggs on March the 16th in a blockbuster trade that included a first-round pick, it was the Bills and the New England Patriots as the final suitors, two suitors. Before Minnesota received four picks, including a first-round pick from Buffalo for the playmaker, the Vikings called New England to give them a chance to match or improve the offer. And when Bill Belichick and the Patriots declined, Diggs was off to the Bills. Now, that date, again, was March the 16th. And if you remember, on St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, is when Tom Brady walked over to Bob Kraft's house and basically said, I'm out of here. Good night. I'm out of here. So people are looking at the timing of it. But based on everything that Tom Curran has been writing in advance, does anybody think that was suddenly going to change his mind, Tom Brady's mind?
Hey, before we pull it, listen, before you 100% jump straight out, what if I gave you this?
Mm-hmm.
What if I put this in a nice little bow and just dropped it on your front desk? And
wouldn't they have tried
door?
Harder if they really wanted Tom Brady back to make sure the Diggs were
bring Stephon Diggs. Hey.
Well, I think it's the other way around. Well, let's see. I mean, I don't know. Steph Diggs, the last hope, the last chance to convince Tom to stay. Yeah, we're trying over here.
They weren't going to give him the money.
No, I'm just saying we're
but
trying.
But if the money was here's the thing.
We're trying. Okay, you tell me. No Tom Brady. Why trade for Steph Diggs?
No, I agree with you.
If you don't think Brady's coming back, if you already know Brady's not coming back, why would this team, given the situation that they're in right now, last year, trade for Steph Diggs for this season? Why would you give up a first-round pick for Steph Diggs for this team? Listen, he's a great wide receiver. But I believe that there's certain organizations you got to look at timing and when to do things. Buffalo, perfect timing to go get a Steph Diggs. The Patriots, as you're rebuilding, you bring in Steph Diggs. What's he going to do for you?
See, the one thing
help you win a game?
The one thing
one
I
more?
Would say in the way that Belichick really left the cupboard bare here at the quarterback position is you could reason that maybe Bill and even Kraft thought, you know what? In the end, he's going to come back on our terms. He's going to come back.
No,
and they weren't reading any of this properly.
I don't think they're that delusional. I think this was kind of written in stone from when the season started. And if
so, the Diggs
kinda,
thing had nothing to do with it.
No, I don't think Diggs has anything to do with it. If it was, it was fake. It was fraudulent. Maybe they were just trying to see how we would respond. But I don't think it was an honest to God like offer. I mean, we're spitballing here. Right, because it looked like, and how many of these deals have the Patriots been in? Like, the Patriots are in on almost every deal. They're the king of almost getting.
Well, that's the Red Sox.
Oh, that's well. It seems to be the Patriots also. Like when guys sign with another team, a year later you find out the Patriots were in on them. We're in discussions. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean because there's probably more teams than just the Patriots who were in on Stephon Diggs.
Well, even the way
like there are more teams
well,
than just
the way Rappaport writes the story. He said the Vikings called New England to give them a chance to match or improve the offer. And Bill probably said, "No, we're not going to give up an offer. We got N'Keal Harry. Have you heard N'Keal
Harry?
Who else do you think the Vikings
only called the New England Patriots?
I think they called other teams.
He's leaving other teams out.
So you don't believe the story then? Which, listen, it's Ian Rappaport. He swung and missed before, but you don't believe the story that it was down to Buffalo and New England.
No,
but that's not what he's saying. He's saying the Vikings called New England to give them a chance. We don't know. Bill's answer might have been, we're good.
I think he wrote that it was down to two teams. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because what you have learned more than anything is that these reporters are used. They're used. They're filtered information. The GMs and the teams filter information to the agents in order to kind of just push the envelope towards the direction where their guy really wants to go. Like, okay, so fine.
That's fine.
The answer is no, I don't believe it.
As the trade is going on, you can leak that stuff publicly, right? Like you said, to get teams interested. Oh, the Patriots are interested. We should get interested, right? If Bill wants them, we should want them. This isn't what's going on right now. He's coming out and saying there was the final two suitors. According to sources.
Okay.
Buffalo.
More unnamed sources.
Buffalo. Yeah, okay, Bill. Buffalo and New England. Like, that's like years
and
A year after. Why would you just throw that out there?
I do not believe it. I believe that all this information is manufactured and filled with lies. All of them.
I think agents love that.
I agree with both of you as they're going on. But right now, a year later, what is the advantage of saying, the Patriots are interested in my client?
Well, the Patriots are a story.
Between them and the Bills.
Tom being successful, they're just adding to the story. They're just layering it up because it adds fuel to the fire. Oh, and by the way, did you know that the Patriots could be the ones going to Tampa because the Patriots were dangling Stephon
Diggs. So you
think
the story came out to make Bill look bad?
I think whoever had the news, yeah.
I don't.
Yes, I do.
I think it's real.
Yes,
I think
do.
They were interested, and they didn't want to go as far as Buffalo. And maybe it was a last-ditch effort to try to keep Tom here.
The fact is that the Patriots
first time?
They're not even in the damn Super Bowl, and they're still part of this stupid story.
Yeah, I was going to say, why is this the first time we're hearing that they were in on
Why would
on
you hear
Stephon
about it
Diggs?
Like 3 months ago?
Exactly.
When the receivers weren't doing anything.
Yeah. Timing
because
seems
to be. Because there's AFC title game. There's a big story in everybody. So everyone's talking about Diggs. They're digging a little bit deeper, and they talk about the trade and that turned everything around for Buffalo, and he finds out a little tidbit in the story.
I don't believe it.
And releases
Vikings
it.
Call New England to give them a chance.
There's
to
no leverage whatsoever by including the New England Patriots in on this now. There's nothing. There's no motivation. It's just telling you what happened, that they were in on him. It was the finalists, two teams. Buffalo gave him more. Pats didn't want to match. Okay.
A lot of these agents use these media people to get their
point
across.
Not a year later. How does it make his client look good a year later?
Because he's giving Rappaport something right now. He didn't give it to him back when this was happening. He's giving it to him now so he can get stuff from Rappaport. That's how it all works, because Rappaport is talking to all of these other general managers and agents. And that's what agents do.
Go, let's go with the story as fact.
That'd be nice.
I'm playing along because I think it's imagination land. So Brady was so hell-bent on leaving, it didn't matter what you placed at his feet as a sign of us trying to make it easier for you to win. It wouldn't matter if you got him a new tackle, a new running back, maybe a couple new corners, but you were going to present him with Stephon Diggs, one of the best young receivers in the league, and he's going to be here for about 6 years. We're going to lock him up. It's basically the offensive equivalent of Gilmore. What, Tyler?
And here's what the offer the Bills got to get Diggs. It was a first-round pick, a fifth-rounder, a sixth-rounder, and a 2021 fourth-rounder for Diggs and a seventh-rounder. So it's a first and change to get Stephon Diggs, who's one of the top five, top seven wide receivers.
Who I believe is still under contract for like three more years on his deal,
Get the kid Jefferson.
So you would have had him
for
4 years.
Gave up a first and a third round pick, he's probably getting Stephon Diggs, and I don't know if that keeps Brady here, but it obviously makes him happy.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
There you go. Let's go to Muhammad. Muhammad's in Springfield. Muhammad.
Hey, Ordway, and Merlone and Foriella. Thank you for taking
my
call.
Good.
I wanted to get your thoughts on what I think the Patriots should do. I think they overachieved. They won more games than they had any business winning last year. So they were a few players away, I think. Huh?
7-9.
Yeah. No. I thought they were terrible. Without any weapons on offense last year, they were able to somehow win seven games. I'm impressed.
All right.
Yep.
So anyway, what I think they should do is I think they should draft Mac Jones. I mean, obviously, if they can get their choice at pick 15, the best quarterback available, but I think that'll end up being Mac Jones, and surround him with good offensive weapons, like spend your free agency money on those wide receivers there. What do you think about that? I don't know if I'm ready to start divulging and dissecting the draft
and these college students, college players. And no, I'm a no to Mac Jones in the first round. I'm an absolute no to Mac Jones.
What was it? Alabama was it those naked pictures that tipped you off that maybe he's not in the best condition?
Maybe it was that and the fact that, you know, all the first round talent that he has in his skill position.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that you could go out and get enough talent that would be as good as what
can
he's
you have
been
the NFL?
To
it's hard to be fat.
No. Jeez. The NFL equivalent of the talent that Alabama has is probably Kansas City. When you talk about tight ends, receivers, backs, and not in the quarterback, in coaching, I mean, that's what it would look like. And Patrick Mahomes would be awesome in any situation, but an average quarterback would still make that offense run.
Phil is in Maine next up here on OMF. Speak up loud, Phil. We're getting a lot of noise there, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
So, first thing, Christian, I hope you know how long it takes for an eyebrow to grow back. Because it's not a short amount of time.
You know what? For the record, I've heard two different opinions. It doesn't take a long time, just like normal hair, and then it takes a long time. I'm not sure where the truth is.
I just read here 5 months.
That's not true.
Yeah.
We're going to reveal the standings at some point, too.
Put some falsies up there. You can work. Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll give you the standings coming up
here. Tough weekend for my salad.
Go ahead.
So, Tom Brady is a better GM than Bill Belichick, and this is why. When Tom Brady was with New England, he continuously took lower contracts so we could sign better players and bring them in so we could win. Continuously did that.
He didn't take lower contracts. What he did is he allowed them to play with the cap, give him less base money, and then in the end, he still got the money. It's just that he allowed them to divvy it out on a different schedule so that they could go and get additional players, which is a good thing to do. A lot of players haven't done that. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit different than taking a lot less money.
Manipulate.
Right.
Well, I mean, over the long run, maybe he missed out on a little bit, but you look at it now, he knows where he's going. He knows where the players that he wants to play with. And you look at Bill Belichick. I mean, he decided that he wanted to move on from this guy. And it's just like, how can you sit here and look at this now and look at the overall picture and say, hey, you know, GMing with this drafting and everything, you still got it? Because I just don't see it. I don't see where he can come up with this and say, yeah,
Belichick? You talking about Belichick?
Yes.
Well, let's see what he does in this offseason, because this is his rebuilding, and he's going to go through an offseason in which he has an awful lot of flexibility. So let's see how it works out. But again, I'll go back to, and I know we're going to argue this time and time again, and why didn't they give Tom Brady that money? Because the 2 years at $50 million would have actually been 2 years and $63.5 million. That's what it would have been. And so at that time, Bill didn't believe the guy could play to 45, which is where he wanted to play, and he didn't think he could play like that at 43 and 44, right? That's what it comes down to. Who would have done that?
Wow.
A team like Tampa Bay does that because they're desperate. They've got lots of talent on their team, and they have no quarterback.
Just get over it.
Exactly.
Everyone, just get over it.
It's revisionist history.
I'll ask
history,
this
though.
Question. This is: do you think that when Brady is done, when he is officially retired, he will come back to New England and sign a one-day contract so he can
retire a
Patriot?
Those are the stupidest things in the world.
No, usually, I do think it will. It'll point to what he really like, where his heart really is. Would he allow himself to retire a Tampa Bay Buck or a New England Patriot?
You retire.
No, not necessarily. All the greats, they come back and they sign those stupid one-day contracts like we were just talking about.
Take me through that. So he calls up Bill. Hey, Bill, it's Tom.
Robert. He calls up Robert. Bill has nothing to do with this.
No?
It's Robert's team.
So
Robert says, will you please come back and retire a Patriot? Yes.
Bill, I have 8 Super Bowls now. Thank you for your 6. I got 2 more down here in Tampa. But I'd like to retire a Patriot. Is that cool with you? You good?
Nope.
Yeah, I also think
it's an interesting dynamic.
I tell you this, we're also looking at it in the lens of what is going on right now, where Brady in year one is having tremendous success and going to the Super Bowl. How does the experience in Tampa Bay end? And it could end ugly. They could extend him out, and it could be that he starts falling apart at 44 or 45.
Well, the odds are they will.
Right. And if that happens, he has a much different feeling towards New England. But I think those things are stupid, don't you, when the guys come back and sign a one-day contract? I mean, it's just goofy. Make no sense at all. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the point coming up a little bit later on in this hour as to where the Patriots go for their quarterback, because guess what? A couple guys might be available.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
Would you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Tom Brady going to his 10th Super Bowl, first without the New England Patriots, but seems like all of New England is just riding him into the Super Bowl. What was a 36 share in the ratings? 36
pretty big
share in the ratings, which is a pretty big number. The only cities that did better, Providence, that's part really of the New England market, okay? Tampa, you would expect that. You got Milwaukee, which you would expect. That's part of the Green Bay area. And then one other, Kansas City, because they were interested in finding out who they were going to play here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Those are the only cities that did a bigger number.
They spent the whole day watching football.
Yep. So they were really in to the Tom Brady stuff. Media, well, a lot of them are coming across the finish line now. I mean, Max Kellerman kind of threw the towel in. Only took him, what, 4 or 5 years? 5 years, right? Took him to throw the towel. Eric Edholm, this is what he tweeted out. Look, I don't know if Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever, but I know no one will ever do what he has accomplished in a team game. Then how is he not the greatest quarterback ever? If he's doing it in a team game,
you know, I took that tweet sort of like I don't want to get into the discussion of whether he's the greatest or not, because I think some people were debating whether he was or whatever the GOAT.
So he's the greatest.
I just sort of took that.
That said, it doesn't mean he's the best.
Yeah, the admission that
he's wrong.
He's done things that no one's ever done before.
But Bill Russell won more championships than he won, right? 11 of them.
Football.
No, he said in a team game.
Oh yeah.
So he spread it out to a team. So he's basically saying
Yahoo.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he's the greatest quarterback ever, but no one will ever do what he's accomplished in a team game. It couldn't be more wrong, because guys have done more in a team game, correct?
Yeah.
So he's right. But they're finding fault with Brady. And then, of course, we had Chris Sims, our buddy Chris Sims. Last night was a microcosm of Brady and Rodgers' career. Brady needed to be good and had a team around him. Rodgers needed to be perfect. And he was damn close.
Yeah, so that's why to your opening point about just getting there is good enough, and you know Peel get a pass. No, he's not going to get a pass.
From Chris Sims, he's never going to get a pass.
I would say like there's a ton of people like that, and maybe they're just doing it to get some attention. Who knows? But even in the Super Bowl against Philly when they lost, so he fumbles the ball. Because, who was it, Marcus Cannon couldn't hold his block, or Shaq Mason, I'm not even sure which one it was.
500-plus yards.
Yeah, he throws for 500-plus yards, and one of the linemen gets beat, and he ends up getting his arm hit, and he's the reason why they lost the game.
Yeah, but we're talking about irrational people, or talking about somebody like Chris Sims, who has a hair across his ass for Brady, because something happened in that one year that Chris Sims was here with the New England Patriots. That's what that is.
Yeah, well, he can lay on the couch and be dissected by some therapist on his own.
That's one thing. Your buddy Rob Parker. What is he saying? What is he saying?
Oh, same old thing. Load.
Yeah, the Sims one, I should have followed Sims. I heard what he had said going into this game. Apparently, he had the Bucs winning this game easy because they're the better football team. Like, at the beginning of the playoffs, did he have the Bucs winning the NFC because they're the best team? That's how he makes it sound. Like, Rodgers had to be perfect. Brady had a good team around him. Rodgers didn't.
Yeah, Rodgers doesn't have good receivers, tight end.
I don't know. Again, I got to go back. I always got to try to keep track of these things going into the postseason, what the talk is. You know, because now all of a sudden Brady's in the Super Bowl and guys like Chris Sims make it sound like they were the clear favorites to win it. I mean, they have the best team. Brady doesn't have to do much, really, because their team is that talented. Their team is good.
Underdogs.
I don't understand how all of a sudden you beat the Green Bay and it turns into, well, Brady needed to be good because he had a team around him. Rodgers needed to be perfect and he was damn close.
Like, they're underdogs 2 weeks in a row.
How do we just change this narrative that the Bucs were the clear favorites to win the NFC? How did that happen in Chris Sims' mind? Did he have them winning the whole thing?
I have no idea. They were 11-5. They were 5. What are we talking about? I have no idea, Lou. I think there are certain people that just are going to cling on to what they were saying right from the get-go, and they're not going to be willing to give in to any of this stuff. And again, I think there's more to the history of Chris Sims with Brady. There's something there we need to find out. Here's Carlos in Brookline next up here in EEI. Carlos.
Hey, Carlos. Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. 2 points. Correct me if I'm wrong. On the pass interference call, they picked up flag up, and actually the call that stand was the too many men on the field. So that's why they put the ball on the, I think it's around the 40 yard line. No, on the 36. That was the penalty. Thank you, guys.
Pass
interference gave him a first down, correct?
Correct. It was two different plays. It was the pass interference that gave him the first down, and on that first down play was another penalty.
It was the next play. But it was already over after that first down.
Yeah. First down. Yeah, he's wrong. First down ended it.
Yeah.
That was it. Manny's in Pawtucket. Manny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
How about those New England Bucks, huh?
Yes. Very nice.
Hey. So I'm calling actually to apologize to Lou. I was right. The Bucks weren't a quarterback away. They were a Tom Brady away from the Super Bowl. And another point I want to make, I'm tired of the disrespect towards Coach Belichick, because Brady didn't come into the league greatest of all time. I think through Belichick's tutelage and coaching, he became the greatest of all time. And the reason I call them New England Bucks is because not only did they get Brady, but they also got a little sprinkle of Belichick on that team also.
So wait, so you discounting, you know, the way Bruce Arians kind of, you know, handled the roster
well,
and handled
the... He did say that Brady's the coach, right? He did say Brady...
He allows him to coach.
Up the guys.
Yeah, but I would... Okay, so I get it that, that Brady came in and instantly, I think, commanded the rest of the players to kind of take it serious. Because I'm here, which means, you know, winning a Super Bowl is realistic. That's a realistic opportunity. Jameis Winston isn't going to give you a realistic opportunity. I'm here now... So everybody be more diligent and, you know, sacrifice more because we can do this. But I do think Bruce Arians deserves some credit for just managing it.
Yeah.
I think he managed it well. We were giving him a hard time. I know I was for just being so inconsistent and ripping like, Brady, but it's he does it to everybody.
Sounds like Manny wants to give Bill credit for the Bucks to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like,
so what's he wants
your,
to take
what's your sprinkle of Belichick?
I'm not sure you can do that. I don't know where the Belichick sprinkle is there. I don't get
it. I think Brady brought that attitude. They all talked about it. I think he brought that out and taught people, players like losers like Mike Evans, you know, Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones and Chris Godwin and showed them how to win. I think they're all losers. I think Mike Evans, to be honest with you, I still don't trust that guy.
And my point last week was that your expectations come with you. So when Manning goes someplace and Favre goes someplace and Montana goes someplace, your reputation, what you've accomplished, you carry it with you. So whenever you walk into a room, like everyone's like, "Whoa, God, we got a shot now." You don't think the Denver Broncos were thinking that when Peyton Manning showed up?
Changed everything.
Or Brett Favre or Joe
Montana.
Guys
work out harder.
It was like, holy
you
crap,
take it more serious.
Let's not waste our opportunity. This guy, next year we may have some chump as our quarterback. Let's not waste the opportunity. You know, then if they don't do it and if their work doesn't live up to his, they get called out.
Yeah, I think that the there's one thing about bringing Tom Brady and what he brings as a quarterback. There's another thing bringing him in, the intangibles, if you want. Well, they're really tangible. And that is he changes the entire chemistry of a franchise. And I think you've got to give him credit for that. I'm not sure Belichick sprinkles into that unless he was basically saying that Brady learned it from Belichick, whatever. We learned this weekend that a quarterback is agreed with his organization. He is out and available to go to another team. We might have added another one after that game last night. We'll get to all of that. Where do the Patriots go from here for QB coming up next right here on OMF?
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The show that's open weekdays 2 to 6 for Patriots fans. It's OMF on EEI.
He's going to get traded, Greeny. He's not going to play again in Detroit, and the Lions are going to listen to offers and decide which place to send Matthew Stafford. And I think both sides welcome the change. And I think there will be interest in Matthew Stafford. Turns 33 years old. I think it's next month. He has a contract for 2 years for $43 million, which is actually very friendly in today's quarterback world, friendly cap terms. I think the Lions think that they can get back at least a first-round draft pick in return for Matthew Stafford.
That is Adam Schefter, and we now have already heard from Matthew Stafford, and he's thanking Detroit and everything else, and he knows he wants to be out. He's going to be traded. They have all agreed to it. So where do the Patriots fit in? We ended up spending a lot of time talking about quarterbacks a while back, and this is a guy that we all thought was a possibility, and now he's on the board. He's on the board. He's clearly a guy that will be traded away. Now, Detroit's asking a first-round draft pick. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get a first in return, even though it is a friendly deal. He is 33 years of age. There's not, you know, there's a good history, but not a great history of winning. And teams are going to be strapped with a new ceiling of $180 million.
You know how I'm going to know if this is a real thing and this could really happen? Matthew Stafford becoming a New England Patriot. You know how I'm going to be assured that this is real? Anybody want to take a guess at it? What sign you need to see in order to realize that the Patriots are really interested? I'll tell you. Matt Patricia gets fired. There's no way in the world that Matthew Stafford is coming to play for a team that is coached by Matt Patricia.
Well, you bring up a good point, which I asked this question, because a lot of people feel like, oh, he's going to get traded. You don't understand. He's going to get traded. Do you think Matthew Stafford will have a say in where he is traded?
Well, yes. What do you mean by that?
I think he will.
So if he doesn't have a no trade clause, then yeah. But if he doesn't,
no, he doesn't.
Whatever he wants.
He does not have a no trade clause.
But I mean, given the career he's had there, do you think they'll be sitting there saying, okay, we got a couple of comparable offers, Matt? We got two or three comparable offers. Like if one just blows us out away, we're going to be like, listen, sorry, we're sending you to whatever Crapsville, wherever. You know what I mean?
Let's go there.
I'm just saying. So, but I think if there are comparable offers. Do you don't think that there's any kind of respect to Stafford to just be like, hey, I don't know, we got two offers, we'll go one or the other. Do you care where you go?
I would say that the GM's not there, the head coach is there, nobody who was there, everybody's gone.
So the owner wouldn't sit there and have any influence, like Bill handpicking San Francisco for Jimmy G, handpicking him. Like, just that's good spot.
Okay, that's
for you.
A coach, but your owner would have to do that, and the owner is non-existent.
My thing is, like you said, Matt Patricia is here. This team is not ready. Who am I going to be throwing to? If I was Stafford and I had any kind of say, I don't want to. What am I going to do there? What are the Patriots going to open up the checkbook and extend me? You know what? It's obvious. I mean, to me, it's obvious. It is Indianapolis or San Francisco.
Well,
like one of those teams, 2-year deal. Yeah. I can win right now. I can have some success. Maybe they extend me. They got the money as well. And that is where I want to go. Make it happen. I know he doesn't have all the say in the world, but I wonder if he's got a little
bit. That would be his wish list, I would think. Indianapolis or San Francisco, which would open the door for Jimmy Garoppolo because the 49ers can't take him on without unloading Jimmy Garoppolo. So that might change it. As far as the Matt Patricia thing, I think Belichick can sell that off. I mean, we're already kind of seeing what he did with Matt Patricia. It looks like Matt Patricia is going to be an unpaid intern, basically. What they're doing is they're bringing in a guy who can help them in certain areas. They've done this before with, Brett Bielema. As a matter of fact, that's part of a lawsuit now. All right, they bring him in. They don't really pay him. They're collecting their money from their last place, Detroit, and Bill gets to revive their career for them, and they can go back on the market 2 years from now. So he could easily sell it off and say, hey, we brought him in here because, he's unemployed. We felt bad for him. And maybe you can sell that off. But I agree. I think Indianapolis and San Francisco are the two main spots. But we have a change of plan here, and that is based on what you heard after the game yesterday. Do you not believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to force his way out of Green Bay? And I would think those two spots that Lou just brought up are number one and 1A on his list.
As far as Matthew Stafford goes, or even Aaron Rodgers, if you are traded there, then I don't think anyone has any say. I think the team does what's best for them. If they can kind of hook you up in the process, fine. But ultimately, we have to go ahead and do what's best for us. This whole mentality about wanting to play for the Patriots, I'm going back to nobody wants to play here unless you get traded. You're going to have to get forced to play here. You're going to have no other options. The team is going to say you have a crappy contract that's loaded and this and that, and the only team that we could find to work with us is the New England Patriots. Well, I'm going to go to San Francisco. They don't want you.
And I think the other question is, would you want them to get Stafford?
The answer is yes.
First round pick.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. Third, whatever.
I think a first round pick at number 15 is too high for Matthew Stafford. If I'm Bill Belichick, what I try to do is I try to move down with that pick and still try to find a late 20th pick in the first round to end up giving to Detroit and get me something either for next year or to make up for a second or third round draft pick that I no longer have.
So you're no on Stafford then?
I want Stafford, but I'm not sure I'm willing to give up 15 for him. And I'm not sure anybody other team is going to give up that high for him.
Oh, I think they will. I mean, it's a two-year. There's a lot of teams out there. The Indianapolis Colts have a very good roster, have a very good team, thinks that they can win right now. They just lost Phillip Rivers.
Where's their draft pick?
They're after you.
Correct. That's the point I'm making. So the teams that you have, other than, and where's San Francisco?
They're higher than you, right? They're not going to give up a first-round pick for them.
Who isn't going to give up
Indianapolis? You don't think Indy would give up a first-round pick for him?
No, but their pick is going to be a lot lower. If I'm Bill Belichick, there's a difference between 15 and 24, Lou.
No, no,
so
I know.
I'm going to work down.
Okay, I just was basing off your statement that no one's going to give up a first-round pick for him. And I think that there are teams that absolutely would give up a first-round pick for him that think they're pretty good.
You don't think Bill would try to move down and try to say, we're giving you a first-round draft pick. I'm not giving you 15. 15's got value. I'm going to turn 15 into 26 and something for the future, maybe a third-round draft pick or something like that for us. So I'm going to get something out of it. Then I will trade 26 in the first round.
Sounds like a lot of moving parts. Where they're just sort of like sitting
there
saying,
Bill,
I think it sounds like you got contingencies. I got to sell my house before I can buy it, and someone's over here with cash.
See, but here's the thing.
You take the cash.
Okay, well, but it's a little bit
Forget about, like, you go through, listen, any team can make any of these trades work. Let's just start with that premise. My question is, would you want, do you think you could win right away with Matthew Stafford?
I'm not sure you're a Super Bowl team. Are you a 10-win team or maybe sneak into 11?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. You can win with Matthew. You won seven with you-know-who. Seven games with that guy.
Who is that?
Okay, it's Baltimore. I don't say his name anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm like done with Cam Newton. But you won seven with him. You're easily at 11. You're three wins above replacement if Matthew Stafford is your quarterback. And let's not act like you're going to have that same wide receiver core. You're going to improve it.
Oh, you got to bring it. Now, here's the thing. If you go and make a trade for Matthew Stafford, now you can walk into free agency, you know, puffing the chest a little bit with a wide receiver. Just a little bit. A lot better than you can say, trust us, we'll find a guy. You know, trust us. You know, we got everything out there. You know, we're looking at this possible free agent, that possible. Well, we might take a pick, a kid, a rookie in the draft. Trust us. No, you trade for Matthew Stafford in that first round, and all of a sudden now you can go to these wide receivers and say, okay, we're going to be throwing the football a little bit more. And we got a good running game. We got Josh. We got Bill. Let's go.
So here's the only question I would have, and maybe Matt Patricia, when you talk about Matt Patricia, he may be a plus in evaluating Matthew Stafford for Bill Belichick. Because the one thing you look at Matthew Stafford is he's won some games at home against bad teams. His record against winning teams and winning teams out on the road is pathetic.
It all changes.
It's awful.
Take out your past record and all the intangibles and everything that goes along with it. You can't play in snow. Yes, you can.
Oh, I can't.
Yes, you can.
And he plays indoors. So you can't do that.
Okay,
Some of it may be him. Do you believe
Bill and Josh can, you know, reset and fix a quarterback?
Well, again, yes, I think in most cases, yes.
But
there's a long
track
record of not winning.
Do you think they can do it with Matthew Stafford?
I don't know. And I think that's where I think that Matt Patricia.
Yes or no?
That Matt Patricia.
The answer is yes.
You don't let me answer the question?
No, because you don't answer the question.
Okay, all you want is simple yes or no.
Yes,
you don't want any explanation. You want yes or no. Simple man, simple answer.
Jesus.
Okay, Matt Patricia may be able to tell you there are some issues with Matthew Stafford.
Of course.
In big games against really good teams. That is a problem, Bill. You probably want to pass on Stafford. I think getting back to the Patricia story, Patricia may sway this thing one way or the other with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he might, and what he can and can't be. Here's the thing. I've been thinking about, like, you know, where we want to go with this quarterback. Is Stafford the answer? You know, reclamation project the answer? Sitting at 15 the answer? Whatever. I've decided that I want Bill to identify a quarterback and trade up and get him. That's what I've decided.
You mean a young kid?
Young kid. Okay. Trade up. If you got to trade up, and I know that's tough because the Jets and Miami are both sitting there at 2 and 3, whatever. You love a kid, he's sitting there at 4, trade up and get his ass. Identify a quarterback, put him on the table, all of them. Just stand up and drop him right on the table and say, this is our guy, this is our future, this is what we're doing moving forward.
I think you're going to be disappointed on draft day.
Most likely.
I just don't think he's going to do that.
I'm not so sure.
Aaron Rodgers is a whole different story. So you have your choice of Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers.
Even though
Rodgers failed once again yesterday in a conference championship game, if you're another team, you're giving up an awful lot for Aaron Rodgers, even at age 37, 4 years older than Matthew Stafford, because you believe now he can win.
But here's the thing. Guys like Rodgers and all these guys, Stafford, John Watson, it's like I just don't think you're even close to being ready to bring in one of these guys in. I really don't. I think you bring these guys in, and maybe a guy like Rodgers obviously helps you be a playoff team, but I don't think you're a threat. I think your roster is that bad. I really do. I think it's that bad. So, I mean, why not just sort of stick with the timing of your rebuild, go with the young kid, and sort of build this thing?
Because I think they want to turn it around quickly.
You think Aaron Rodgers is pissed off because they didn't give him any weapons, and he looks at it and says, holy smokes, do you realize how much better Devontae Adams, you know, Valdez-Scantling, and Lazard and Tanya, the tight end, are better than what you have, and I'm going to go to you?
Let's hear from Rodgers yesterday.
He'd be miserable.
Let's go to Rodgers yesterday, because just hear it in the tone of his voice. Obviously, you know, right after you lose the conference championship, I get all of that stuff. But how do you go on from this? That's what he was asked.
I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. Pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do appreciate you all and the job that you've done this year. I appreciate our interactions. Appreciate the opportunity to share every week. And always be thankful for this season.
That's what happens when you find out guys, you're not going to get the State Farm Rodgers discount.
He's walking off into the distance with the incredible Hulk theme song.
You
walking on Lambeau
time.
Field. He's crying.
Yes.
Christian, you say this all the time, that NBA players push their weight around and they're able to go and do, and we just saw it with James Harden. I think we're seeing it now with NFL quarterbacks.
Well,
I think you're going to see it with Watson. I think you're going to see it with Rodgers.
I listen, I'm not going to go base it off of that. That was a crushing defeat. They had the number one seed. He had plans, the thoughts of going to a Super Bowl. They lose. That's the emotion you get after a game. I'm not looking at that right there thinking, okay, Rodgers, it's just emotional. It is. I mean, he was MVP of the year. Like, do you really think Green Bay is ready? This is just like Brady and Garoppolo. You think Green Bay is going to sit there and say, yeah, Aaron, we want to move on from you? Well, you drafted the kid. Yeah, I know he drafted the kid, but you're the MVP. We're moving forward with you. We'll go and get you another piece with Devontae Adams, and we run it back.
But I think it's a lot like Brady in that they drafted Jordan Love in the same respect that the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, and they said nice things about him. And I think that Aaron Rodgers might be looking at it and saying, look what happened. Tom Brady got out of New England after all of those years.
No, but the thing is,
Tampa Bay, I could go to Indianapolis.
The guy
they
drafted to replace him, they traded because Tom was playing at such a high level. That's what they're going to do with me.
Yeah, but and also, let's not act like the grass is greener on the other side. Like, he's got a ton of talent. Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Tanya, the tight end that scored like 12 touchdowns, including the playoffs.
Lazard, Valdez,
Scantling.
He
He's not a defensive player. All he needs to worry about is his offense. And I would say his defense gave him 3 turnovers. His defense gave him exactly what he needed, and he couldn't do anything with it. So this whole poor woe is me. Oh, he's a loser. And the reality is that Aaron Rodgers is really they should start calling him the same thing that they called Peyton Manning, which was the best regular season quarterback to ever play.
Yes.
But the problem, the reason they're not doing it is because it took Peyton forever to finally win his, and Aaron won his right away. So suddenly they just elevated him. It was 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my point. So what has he really accomplished? What has he accomplished? So you want to keep comparing him. You want to say, oh, you know what, I'm going to go play someplace else.
So he's not going to
play. They got
himself.
Rid of McCarthy. They brought in a young coach that you get along with.
And you were 13-3, 2 years in a row.
So
yeah,
you,
but
what,
he's
you're
not
going to
blame himself for this. But you still Whose didn't fault accomplish is it? What he wanted. I agree, Christian. I'm not debating it. I'm telling you.
Debating?
This is human nature. Human nature is
with him
sitting
though.
There saying, they don't want me. They want this young kid. They're trying to push me out.
Oh, poor me.
37.
Whoa.
I think he's going to try to push to get out.
So and hold
I
on.
Like
last
NBA
thing.
Players,
last thing.
This is going to be the new trend in the,
last thing.
In the NFL.
Here's the thing. This is just so odd to me. Like, Brady could not be a better person, a better human being, a nicer person, a thoughtful person. You name it. He's the ultimate teammate. I mean, constantly sacrificing what's best for him for the betterment of his teammates. And he's run through the mud whenever possible. And Aaron Rodgers is just the opposite. I mean, he's got so much Jay Cutler on him. I'm amazed people still kind of like root for him.
They
and
do.
They allow him to blame everybody else but himself. Like, he never comes out there and just says, I effed up. You know what? I should have ran the goddamn ball in instead of throwing it across my body into double coverage.
Did you hear his excuse? Did you hear his excuse on that?
Yeah.
If he knew they were going to kick a field goal, he would have.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do we do about the haters? We love them.
I don't get it. I don't. You know.
No,
so that proves to me that people hate Brady so much.
Yeah, they do.
That they're willing to hitch their wagon to an a-hole Aaron Rodgers.
There's never any blame to Aaron Rodgers.
Never.
I just saw this. Ed Werder tweeted out. Aaron Rodgers was 17-for-19 targeting Adams in goal to go situations entering yesterday. He was 1-for-6 in this game. He was 2-for-9. In goal-to-goal situations, 70 completions were the most in his career. He was not good down at the goal line. And especially that second drive when they end up getting three. A couple of bad throws, a couple of bad decisions. He was not good, but you know what? It's not his fault. You know, it's not. It's never his fault.
Never.
Nothing is ever his fault. And now, after being on a team 13-3, 2 years in a row in the MVP, and he failed again in the NFC title game, which he's now 1-4 in, it's got to be someone else's fault.
He's going to push
you drafted
way out
a
of there,
kid
guys.
Behind me. Good, you're MVP. We're the number one seed. What better situation do you want?
He's going to blame everybody but himself, and he's going to force his way out of there.
That's what he's
going to do. And he's looking at Brady now and saying, look at what Tom Brady did.
Yeah.
He went to Tampa Bay, a different environment. This hour of OMF brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.